Hi, I'm Pam and I'm an addict. Okay, what's the name of this topic again? That's it? Being sexual or being intimate. I'm like really nervous because I've been thinking about it and I've been reading and studying and all this stuff and I can't, and the basic text, all this other stuff said a whole bunch of stuff and I don't remember none of this stuff. So I decided I'm going to tell y'all my story. I'm an only child, right? And I always start out with that because I was lonely as a little teeny girl. I was an only child, and my mother was a single, black, hard-working, going back to school, meeting a man, working, having me having babysitters, and she did the best she can do with what she had. But in the meantime, I was molested, I was raped, I had so much kind of sexual perverted stuff happen to me when I was a little girl, like 5, 7, 9. In this one particular house, they raped me so much, it was like, and the truth is, I really let them off the hook. And if any of y'all are in here, because some of them are in recovery now, I was 6 and they was 18. I done let you off the hook. I forgive you because that was the only way. And I only learned that because I came to Narcotics Anonymous. But before I got here, I was a wreck, a train wreck before I ever picked up any kind of substance. I always had two feelings. I was better than you or I was less than you. I was better than you because my bedroom was pretty and bright and white, had the canopy bed with the pretty curtains. And I was less than you because I was black, I was bald-headed, I was skinny. I mean, I wasn't bald-headed, my hair was nappy, but it was down my back. But whatever it was that I was, it wasn't good enough. My mother used to tell me stuff like, what goes on in my house stays in my house. So when they was molesting me, and one time I did tell my grandmother what had happened, and my mother beat my ass. So I ain't telling no more. And I hadn't mentioned it anymore until I went to treatment. But anyway, about time I got, and I'm going to skip on, and because it seemed like, you know, I was molested. Then I became an adolescent. I started, you know, I was promiscuous. Then I became an addict. I started selling the pussy. And then I came, at the end of my story, I used to be so funky and stinky that I couldn't even give it away, let alone sell it. But, it's getting a little better with the nervousness stuff. But anyway, about time I got to the strip that I was on, that I ended up on, I think I was about 15 or 16 years old. By the time I ended up there, I was in high school. I had a dope habit. Well, I had a dope habit yet. But, yes, I did. By the time I had a heroin habit, I thought I was better than y'all because I snorted dope and didn't shoot it. I was brand new on the strip. I was green as hell, didn't know nothing. But I can fight, I can cuss, I can spit, I can wear that little short dress with no drawers on, I can fuck, I can do anything I wanted to do. And it was all right. I enjoyed it. I remember coming up the strip, and I done skipped over all that other stuff about the molestation, because the truth is, that is what happened, and that is where I learned how to be sexual. That's where I learned how to be perverted in them different situations. Anyway, by the time I got up on that strip, and I need to tell you this, I feel so loved. Because I was really nervous, but I feel so loved right now because I got people from the strip, from the elementary school, from my sponsoring family, women that I used to sponsor. I mean, in here with me right now. Okay. Oh, people that my mother was pregnant with. Oh, man. I feel loved. Okay. Know that. Okay. So, anyway, I forgot where I was at. Okay. Thank you. I was on the strip. Thank you. I'm going to go back to the strip. Okay. I remember being, I think I was about 15 years old. It was when in D.C. the drugs was hot. the drug name, the particular drug that I got, that I was stealing or begging for at the time. Well, I wasn't really begging, because remember, I was 16. So I was, you know, new on the block. And I was new. I didn't know anything. But trust and believe, I kept going back until I learned everything. I remember my nose having a hole in the going straight through, that when the wind blew, it whistled through, and my eyes were watered because it burnt so bad from the benign. But and I always remember that because I wanted to shoot some dope. And those guys up there, and I went to the oil joint that was next door to the house that I was in, and they wouldn't let me shoot them. They said they put me out, you know. But the truth is, and I also remember one morning, I was on my way to high school, you know, I was on my way to school where my best friend, she's still my best friend, she put me out of her house to make me go to school. That's the only way I went to school, because she put me out every day, because I had ran away from home. You know, and my mom used to come and get me and rescue me, clean me up, and I used to run back. But she had put me out this particular day, and she had put me out, and I was up on the strip. I was 16 years old, in line to get a hip belly. And I remember it was one girl, her hands and feet was big, and pus was running. And I was like, look at that Dauphine. And my girlfriend's mother, which was my girlfriend, she said, Dauphine, you out this motherfucker too. You know, so I identify in. I was a dope fiend too. But anyway, we're gonna move on to the sexual thing. But anyway, I did everything, anything it took to feel better. I gotta remember this damn topic. Okay, being sexual and being intimate. I'm gonna get there, because trust and believe that I have been sexual. I'm sexual. I'm a sexual human being. I like sex. And I can talk about how, you know, I can talk about the perverted sex that I like to have, okay? Or that's been had to me. And I can talk about being intimate. Like, I sponsor women that I have intimate relationships with. I have people in my life, like, I've been dating this particular person for a couple of months, and I haven't had sex with them, but we have an intimate relationship. So I know, you know, the difference, but I just want to tell y'all my story, because that's what's, tell you how I got to the point where I can just get to know somebody before I reward them with my coochie. But anyway, you know, So I was up on that strip, and that lady told me that I was a dope fiend. And anyway, I got that bag of dope, then I went on to school. And I graduated out of high school. I used to wear high heels almost every day. They was like children to me. I don't remember being a child. You know, again, it always, people used to say, because I was the only child, my mother worked really hard and did what she had to do to make sure I was okay. She moved to different places so that I wouldn't become in Narcotics Anonymous. But the truth is, I don't remember getting hugged and kissed or, you know, I remember the real pretty shoes and the shiny shoes and the pretty lace. Man, I was a wreck, okay? By the time I left that strip and went in treatment. And how I went in treatment is because I had a little baby. And when she was born, it said Border and in my last name, because she was a Border baby. That's what they used to call them. And she was a Border, life or death. And about the time she was, I remember one of those times I ran away from home. I left the child and I came back and she was walking. And I asked God and I said, you know, I got to do something. Because I remember my story. I remember how I was treated as a child. And I didn't want to have that in my life, the truth. I wanted something different for my child. So that's the reason, that was my reasoning for getting clean. Because I wanted to be a good mother, and I wanted to make sure that they did not take her ass until she was ready to give it up. So that's the truth. You know, so I came in this program and I went in treatment. I went in this the 6-month program for 18 months. They would not let me leave, okay? And then when I went in there, I got out. I was in the program, and the people, the everybody, because people love me. I am so loved. If you don't feel the love in this program, you ain't doing it right. Even if it ain't nothing but from me, because I love you until you learn to love yourself, okay? But anyway, went in this program, and I love programs. I believe in them, you know. I advocate for them. I don't know where none of them at no more. They're going to close them all. But I went in this program for 18 months. I came out this program, and I used while I was in this program, and the counselors told me, shut up. You going to get this. So, you know, they believed in me. I didn't, but I used. I got a boyfriend because, you know, I keep one of those, you know. And I got a boyfriend. I used. And I used for about 90 days. It wasn't that long, about 30 days. And one day, and I don't even know how I used. I just was walking up the street one day, and I seen a girl I was in elementary school with. She said hi. I said hi. And we was hi. You know, and when we got high, and then I just left her. I left her. I was looking around my surroundings because they told me I'll pick off right where I left off. And I went back, and I had been working for 18 months. I was in the treatment center. I went and went to the bank, took all the money off the bank. I told you, my daughter, I broke her bank and spent all her money in her bank. And then it was October the 3rd, 1989. I was high as hell. And I ended up it was a blackout on the street I was in. I don't know why. It was a blackout in D.C. And I went to this meeting. It was at this church. And it was on my mother's street. I was scared to go home because I had used and she had done everything she could do, you know. And so I went to this meeting. I knew it was a meeting there because I was going to meetings. And then people put me in service. I was geeking like hell that day. And they told me, some next week you bring a speaker. And they put me in service that day. So I went to the NA meeting for the speaker for the AA meeting. And they let me. And it was like me, the speaker, these two old guys that was in the with AA, and this other guy. And they let me talk the whole damn meeting. And I chaired that meeting for 5 years, okay? You know, but in the meantime, I had to go to meetings so that I could get speakers for their meetings. So I went to plenty of meetings, you know. I had the women in my life and started to talk about, like, the intimacy. The people in my life, right, like, I remember my first sponsor. I met her, you know, we started arguing. And she said, you need to get a sponsor. I said, I don't have one. I said, would you be? She said, yeah. That was our attraction. We were the arguers, you know. And she stayed my sponsor for 13 years. And she's like one of my better friends in my life, you know. I have a home group. My home group is a 10:30 coffee hour. We meet every Sunday morning. If you're in D.C., D.C. area, please come. 10:30. I can't tell you the address. And yes, I chair that meeting, too. Okay. I go to plenty of meetings. Let me tell you about the intimacy part. I didn't get intimate yet in this process. I didn't work a step. I didn't look at a step until I had about 5 years clean. And I wanted to go play cards at this bar that they go to, and Betty asked. She's deceased now, and she said, well, you can't go with me in here with them drinking, and it was my sponsor's friend, unless you do some step work. So I said, all right. So that was the first time that I attempted to do some step work. And I did the best I could with what I had. But because I thought I was unintelligent and I was dumb, because all my life, you know, they said that empty is a wagon, make the loudest noise. I'm loud. I'm aggressive. So, you know, the emptiest wagon, it's empty up here, you know. So that stuff that they told me when I was a child, I still believed it. And sometimes, on a good day, I still believe it. You know, but what I do, and my clean date is October the 4th, 1989. You know. But the hit is, I love this program. You know, I remember back in the day, you know, because I could share. You know, I could tell you about myself, but talking about how I felt I remember I used to talk about how I learned everything in this program. I even learned how to wipe my butt, you know, but I was a little more nasty with it. And I don't know where that came from, but anyway, I did learn that. I did learn that in this program, but since I said that, let me tell you how I learned, okay? And then I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to the next man, because we should be about that time. But again, I remember going to a women's rap, and I'm kind of ashamed that I'm even mentioning this. Anyway, I went to a women's rap, and you know, the women were sharing. It was so nice. No. But, we wasn't nice. We was new. It was a whole bunch of women that, you know, that was doing what we do. Messing around, doing what we do in the women's rap early on. But not with each other, but I mean, I was very promiscuous in here. I mean, the bottom line, all I knew was I came in here with the same behaviors. I didn't like who I was. So what I did was, you know, look at Coattail, and he was cute, and I didn't know how to do that. He took Amy around home, bought me some McDonald's, he got some pussy. That's what I knew. You know, and then after a while, when my self-esteem started getting a little, you know, better, you had to be my boyfriend after I gave you the pussy. Then after a while, you know, it took a little bit more. Then after a while, I started paying my mother's mortgage, all kinds of stuff. But the truth is, I came in here and I became a lady. You know, I can't remember I can remember the last time, but I can't remember the last time I went to a meeting and took somebody home and you know, and rewarded them. You know, because I got my own shit now. So, but I also got self-esteem. I got self-worth. I like who I am. You know, I'm not the same person I was when I walked in the door. You know, and it's like I came in here with values. I mean, my mother gave me some. I didn't have any. I forgot about them. But what I did, what the ladies in these rooms did, was they loved me. They showed me how to be a lady. You know, they showed, and the men too, because a lot of them was like, I'm not messing with her. She is good and crazy. Her sponsor good and crazy. You know, and I appreciate them. I was just talking to a guy outside. He lives in Texas, Tennessee now, Berlin. Outlaw. But he said, He said, I was just thanking him for not sleeping with me, because I used to like him. He used to be so cute. He used to look so good in his clothes and hard shoes and them. And I was thanking him, and he was like, and he told me, he was like, because I was 25 when I came to this program. I was a little girl. I had not done anything but graduate high school and have a baby. Nothing else. And use dope. Any kind of dope. I like dope. It was any kind. I mean, I smoked everything, drank everything. I remember, I was so stupid. The dude said he had some meth. I said, what is that? He's talking in this little cup, this spit back. I don't know what the hell I drank, but I drank it and I was happy. Okay? I was a get with nit when it came to stuff like that. You know, I don't know. What I do know that this program has given me, like, just a little bit about my recovery, because I told y'all a lot about my using, and like the intimacy portion of my life. Like people know me. Like all the stuff that I'm sharing, somebody know all of it. A lot of people know all of it because I share. Even though I'm a little nervous because a lot of people here is just, you know, more than my home group. But I tell my story. You know me. I live in the rooms. I've been here for as long as I've been here, and I live in the rooms. I make my mistakes in the rooms. Like 9 months ago, I had this guy I was dating. I guess about 6 months ago, and I had this guy I was dating, and I liked him. Then I stopped dating him. But while I was dating him, people was like, you're so happy. Then I said, Lord, then when I stopped dating the guy, when we stopped dating, hey, wasn't nobody saying I was happy? I was thinking to myself, I'm happy as shit. Why they not telling me? You know, but the thing is, and because I'm able to be intimate with somebody, I'm able to tell them the truth. I'm not feeling good today about whatever it is. Or, you know, I'm lonely. You know, whatever it might be. But this program has given me, Like, I'm the best mother ever. I am the bomb, okay? And that, I mean, only because you all taught me. I remember we used to have this little women's group, and this same little baby that I was born a baby, the same one had was growing up in the program, and she peed, she was asleep, and she peed on me. I spanked her, and this lady beat me up in the little meeting we was in. She was like, I'm telling you, she was like, you're not going to abuse her. Okay, praise God. You're not going to abuse her. And but the truth is, when I kept coming back and just a little bit more, she's going to give me, I got 5 minutes, which I'm so glad. since I've been here, and I'm talking about intimacy, I'm talking about into me I see. You know, like, y'all know who I am because I've given you me. Ain't none, all that stuff that I wanted to read out the book, I couldn't find a damn book. My phone was dead, you know, to get to the page. So all I could do was give you what I had, and that was me. You know, but as I was saying was, like, being a parent in this program, I have been my kids, and I'm going to say kids because I have two more since coming here, and they was other people's kids in the beginning. They wasn't even mine. Like, one little girl was a little girl that I just met when I was, you know, walking down the street, and I didn't like the way she was living, and I took her, and she's now 32, okay? You know, and the other little girl, her mother was one of us, and she passed from diabetes. I didn't like the way she was living, and I took her. She's now getting ready to become a sophomore in college. I mean, and that's only because I came in here, I told you all who I was, I lived in here, and, you know, I always wanted, like, to feel just like I feel now, like, whole. And it ain't whole because I got a husband, because I don't. It ain't whole because I got a wife, because I don't. You know, because sometimes I don't, you know. But what I am is, I don't have no situations where I can not hold my head up. Even in my mistakes, I come in here, you know, because I'm not always the nicest person. But even in my mistakes, I come in here and I share them. And I live in the program. Sometimes I be so proud of my damn self, you know, because I'm not the same person I was. Like, people really, like, call me on the phone and say, what do you think? My family, like, my whole family, I have, like, cousins in the program. They followed me. Like, one of the ladies, and I'm going to be quiet because that 5 minutes should have been about that. But one of the ladies that I watched, we was on the strip together, we grew up together, and I watched her go to treatment and then get clean. I love her. You know, and so my share is for her. Today, Lamar, she's not here. She's in Florida. You know, she moved. But I am so proud of her. I love that woman because what she did was she, y'all showed me, y'all came around her and loved on her and showed me that if I do what she's doing, y'all was going to love on me. And I did it. You know, and I have a sponsee that just can't get it right. Her name is Monique, and I say her name so when the sickest, when y'all talk about the addict, the, you know, lift her name. You know, because that's what it's about. It ain't about what I can repeat out the book. It's about how I live. And trust and believe, I live, I do the best right thing most days. Anyway, it's my pleasure. I hope that I talked about intimacy and sexuality and all that.